Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
As a cell phone ban comes into force this term for school kids, we're looking now at the issue of when to get a phone for your child. While many, if not most of us, had a phone-free childhood, the pressure for children to get their own phones is creeping lower and lower. Many parents will opt for year 7 and 8, the intermediate school years, as the age and time to introduce this, when it can help a phone kids navigate a little independence and with the peace of mind of being able to contact them. But to talk through what kind of phone, when and on what terms, we welcome Ellie Gwilliam, who's content editor and presenter for The Parenting Place. Kia ora, Ellie.
Kia ora.
Let's start with that question. You can get a good old burner phone that will allow texts and phone calls. Is that a place to start with young people?
Absolutely. Well, this is actually where we started in my family. Our eldest was about 11 and she was in a musical in town with late night rehearsals. And so we got her a phone that only took phone calls, so we could keep in touch. She hated it, to be honest. And they affectionately referred to it as the ringer. But it served its purpose. You know, we were able to stay connected with her, but she was not able to connect to the internet. And this is the issue. A smartphone just allows our kids so much access to a whole online world that they may well not be ready to navigate safely on our own. So this is a great consideration. This is a great conversation. And but there's a lot of pressure, as you say, on kids and on parents. So I think it's just really helpful and healthy that we have this conversation and realize we don't have to simply go with the flow. We don't simply have to purchase the latest iPhone to keep our kids happy. There are other options here.
That said, you need to be a little bit wary because I think most of the burner phones will have a camera and a photo sending option, which is one of the issues you need to be aware of with young people.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is why it's such a great conversation, because we need to just be talking with our kids, staying connected with them, having all the conversations, the hard conversations as well as the easy conversations, talking about the risks, talking about the ramifications of having this sort of technology available to you, literally in your pocket. What are the risks? What are the dangers? And how can we navigate this safely? These are conversations we need to have with our kids so that they can be making really good decisions on their own. We're not going to be able to be there all the time. So the goal is that we are preparing our kids to make wise choices and safe decisions on their own, even if we're not able to be there to guide them every step of the way.
So let's talk about the conversations first of all. How young is the pressure coming on the child and then related onto the parent to get a phone?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you hit the nail on the head earlier with that intermediate age. It's been a default kind of time, I think, for a lot of families, especially with kids going over to a new school perhaps and needing public transport or for a lot of families that makes sense. That's a time to get a phone so that you can stay connected. For our family, that plan was thwarted because we moved to the country and they went to a school that went right up to intermediate as well. So the phone, we were able to dodge that until they went to high school when, we did need to be in touch with them a bit more often. But I sort of see that the tide is turning a bit as well. We've met families who have said no to phone ownership until later, and even kids who are saying, "No, we don't actually want a smartphone." The constant connectivity, the notifications going off all the time, it's just actually not. It's not us. My cousin's kids have these group of friends, like 13, 14 year old boys, and they all are proud owners of dumb phones, they call them, or ringers, and they just use those to keep in touch, and only when they absolutely have to. They actually would prefer to not be in constant touch with or in contact with all their mates. So I find that really quite interesting and inspiring. My 13-year-old has said, yeah, not everyone in her class has a phone. And I was like, wow, that's actually really refreshing.
So do you think this is peculiar to a certain cohort in a certain school in a certain area? Or could it be that fashions and trends and fads are seeing it become a little less central? I'm not sure I'm anecdotally hearing the same thing, although typically from among older kids, certainly by the time they're at high school. But do you think there is a little bit of a, hey, it's not the big new must-have fad? Is there potential for that?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. I think elements of lots of factors like that. But also I suspect we're being helped by research a bit here, because we have been travelling through uncharted territory, because the technology landscape has changed so dramatically and so rapidly. Our kids have had all this technology in their hands, and we've got a bit of catching up to do in terms of what the effects of all of this is on our kids. And the research is helping us out now, because it is largely saying that the net negative impact of digital media on kids needs to be considered on their cognitive development, on their social skills, on their emotional well-being. So I think as we learn more about this, we are going to be making decisions to delay phone ownership, because a lot of the researchers, a lot of the theorists are saying, hold off as long as possible when it comes to giving your kid a smartphone.
Well, at what point do you think now is the time? So it's not only age, of course, it is emotional and various other kinds of development and maturity. Kids can be at different places at different ages. But in principle, at what point might you be thinking, actually, maybe this is time to reintroduce or to introduce, and then we can talk about the parameters?
Yeah, and it's going to differ from family to family, as you say, and from child to child, what they are ready for, what responsibilities they're prepared and ready to take on. And what the needs of your family are, where your family members are at different times of the day. All of those things come into consideration, I think. And we can gauge as parents. We know our kids the best. So you can gauge when you feel like your child is ready. For my family, 13 was a great age. It worked for our family. We didn't need them to have a phone for connection to us before that. And then there's like this rite of passage moment. You know, they've anticipated it for a long time. And then it sort of marks the occasion. So for a lot of families, it will be that sort of rite of passage moment. Maybe it's a new school. Maybe it's a significant birthday. There's various approaches to it. It isn't one size fits all. We want to be really careful when saying prescribing any kind of age and stage, because it varies so much. Families can take different approaches depending on what suits them. But we really do encourage parents to think about it and talk about it, and not just have to go with the flow, because kids are really great at coming home and saying, I'm the only one that doesn't have XYZ, or everyone else has XYZ apart from me. And that puts pressure on parents, and we can feel a bit guilty, like, oh, maybe my child is missing out on social connection, et cetera, et cetera. But I think what we're finding, well, what I've certainly found as a parent, is that there are ways around this, and our kids aren't missing out. And it's interesting with the phone ban in schools now. The panic was there initially, because we're like, how are we going to keep in touch? How are we going to do this? How are we going to know? How are we going to update all of that? And you realize, oh, actually, communication is multifaceted, and our kids are going to be okay without a phone.
Observation here from a correspondent. I have three teenage boys, no phones until 16. My eldest, who's 19, wishes he didn't have one at all. Too much garbage on it. They take a $5 burner phone as an emergency contact when out biking. It is possible. Another here says, my 10-year-old had a birthday party and one of her friends brought her smartphone. The child didn't appear to use it or care about it, and I wonder if it was just having the phone as a symbol rather than actually wanting or needing it. My daughter has no devices of her own, but many of her friends either have a phone or an iPad. When is the right time for their own device? The lack of interest is something you just take advantage of, Ellie, for as long as that's the case.
Absolutely. If your kid's not asking for it, definitely don't have to go out and get them one. I love that families are realizing that their kids can wait until later in the teenage years, especially with so many of the social media apps. The recommendation on them is actually much later than so many of us commonly accept. 16 is really recommended across a lot of social media apps now for access. So this is, there is, as I said, I feel like the tide is changing a bit here, and we're thinking through these things differently.
What of the boundaries when the time comes? And this is where the challenge is so there for parents. It seems almost like a full-time job, understanding what is on those phones, understanding where they can go, understanding how the kids might be using them. I can think of parents I'm familiar with who's required all the phones end up on the kitchen bench at a certain time in the evening. And by the way, I have the right to your password. Now, again, this is going to be different strokes for different folks. But is your starting point, if you're going to have this bit of equipment at X age, I have the password, I get to see whatever's on it, and by the way, phones on the bench at night. Or is there an age where that is no longer viable?
Yeah, I think so. Again, there's a bit of variance here, but in our family, absolutely. We bought the phones, or we inherited some hand-me-down phones from grandparents, to be honest. But, you know, the phones were belonging to my husband and I. They're not our kids, so they don't belong to our kids. So there's this reminder that they're a privilege, they're not a right. So and along with that comes this, we have access to their phones, and that is for their safety. So if we can establish that from the get-go, that can really help navigating phones, our kids with phones. So there's no secrecy, there's actually not really much privacy, because we can access the phone and have a good look around for our kids' well-being. But our eldest is 16 now, and I've definitely noticed a shift here, and it's based on how I actually trust her to manage her phone more independently now. So and that might seem a little idealistic, but here's an ideal. Like, we start our kids off with these parameters and these boundaries that are quite tight, but as they get older and as they prove to us that they can manage the responsibility, and as that trust grows, and as they grow in their maturity and their understanding and their own wisdom as well, then they can have a little bit more freedom. I think that's definitely a great way for families to progress in this, or to navigate phone ownership. But then it comes down to cost as well. We're still paying for the phone usage. We're still paying for the data. We're still paying.
Well, it's, time of use is a biggie, Ellie, because sometimes when we read, you know, horror stories about things going really badly wrong, the amount and continuity of use is quite remarkable. And is that where rules like no phones behind, no phones in the bedroom at night, or no phones, you know, whatever? Do you have a right up to a significant age to hold to those rules? Because the other ultimate is, okay, eventually the kid might end up owning the phone or buying their own phone, but while they're under your house, under your roof, you know, our house, our rules. And without wanting to get all too hot and heavy on it, is it something that you at least need to be aware of? What time of day, how often, and how long those phones are being used?
Yes, 100%. And it's a tricky, it's difficult, because this is time consuming for parents. This is requires intentionality, it requires effort, it requires time, and we're time poor. So yeah, but yeah, that's absolutely the way we need to navigate this. We need to be checking in. We need to have boundaries. We need to have clear parameters for phone usage, because it's just a it's a very dangerous, risky online world out there.
It's an addictive behaviour too, let's face it.
Yes.
We all know that.
Absolutely.
One more question. Yeah. I have a 17-year-old, totally addicted to phone and addicted to vaping. His cohort definitely victims of uncharted territory. Great to have research for younger children, but what do you do when the horse has bolted and we have a generation so exposed?
Yeah, so it's a really tough one. And we're encouraging, open up the conversation and keep the conversation going, talking to our kids about how they're feeling with their phone use, online use. How do you feel afterwards? this isn't great. I'm not actually feeling that good when I spend all this much time on my phone. And what else could we be doing? Encouraging our kids back outside to play sport or read a book or whatever that looks like. The best thing we can do here as parents is to role model doing alternative things, because as parents, as adults, we are on our phones a lot as well, let's be honest. So we've been modeling to our kids, yeah, that the phone is our entertainment, is our escapism, is our work, it's our whole life, for example. So instead of having to drum down all these boundaries and these rules for our older kids, and these are the times you're allowed on and you're not allowed on, the first step can be just having some family tech-free time. So yeah, as a family, none of us are on our phones between 7 and 8, or whatever it is that you just start with.
I have some sympathy with this parent, because by 17, absolutely, good luck trying to, you know, undo what's been done. I don't know. It's an issue we might actually pick up in the future and have a look at. Even with addiction specialists or behavioural specialists, I think it's a really great question. It's undoing what's already been done. And to this person's point, there's a cohort in the same boat, as indeed they are with vaping, which is another whole different story we've traversed many times on this program. Ali, thanks very much. Ali Gwilliam from The Parenting Place.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.